Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. It's Deborah Leanne, and time for Wednesday Wisdom. It's funny because I wasn't sure whether to say good morning or good afternoon. It's just straight up noon here. This topic of trust, it feels like it's a big one for many of us right now, and partially because I'm living in the state of Missouri, and it's the Show Me State. And very often, people want to see firsthand what they're getting involved in, what they're going to invest in, what the person's experience has been. And coming from an HR background, I was always looking at the cover letter and the resume to get a good indication of, is this somebody that I want to bring in for an interview? Do I want to take my time to schedule time with them? We now do that by going to someone's Facebook page or to their LinkedIn profile to see, is this someone that I want to meet with? And unfortunately, a lot of what we see on paper isn't even real. It's what the person could have even paid somebody to write the resume for them. They could have, it's just not an indicator of who they will be as a contact or an employee or a potential, I'm going to say even partner, because the online dating profiles too. So it's just, how do we know, you know, and where do we trust? And do we trust in what the person has done in the past that might give us a good indication of where they're going to go in the future? But hopefully they've grown beyond even that, and in a good way. So there's always a risk, right? There's risk. And we tend to feel that if we can see something in front of us, even in an ad for something or a white paper showing research and statistics or whatever it is, we get a better feel that we're making a good decision. Yet how often could that data, and it often is, be manipulated? So we're going to dive in a little bit around the trust in between the seen and the unseen. And to me, this is a masculine and feminine issue in terms of the seen and unseen. So before we get into it a little bit deeper, let's just get present. And I do this for myself, probably more than for you. And if you can stop doing your multitasking, that would be great. If you don't, that's fine too. But the main thing is that we want to feel our bodies in this moment. So whether your feet are on the floor or your bottom is in your chair and you can kind of wiggle it back and forth, claim that space in this moment in time as yours and plug in to the energetic connection we have with this physical plane. We don't want to disconnect from our physical plane. Very often as we become more aware, more spiritual, and more in a comfortable space with the spiritual realms or the energetic realms, we tend to check out of our bodies. And my teachings and learnings and all of the experiences that I've had up to this point of almost being 60 is that we are here to do it all at the same time. So I guess that is multitasking, except for it's multi-being, right? It's not multi-doing. So check in, feel your body, allow some nice, beautiful breaths to bring you into focus, to slow down your mind, and to connect us on all of our many levels. Physical, spiritual, intellectual, emotional. And just slow down and savor this moment. I can hear birds outside. I've lit a candle. I'm swaying my body back and forth to stay in the physical body here. That is such a beautiful vehicle for my life, and I so often do not recognize it. And then let's just become aware. It's not that we have to tune in or plug in to our spiritual beam of beautiful love light or spiritual light or God light. It's always connected, but let's just become aware of it. And breathe in the gratitude of knowing that we are always connected on all of these planes at the same time. And from this place, let's just see where this topic of trust in the unseen and the seen takes us. Very often, this was a huge discussion that would end up very often in getting into a heated argument with my last lover and partner. He was very much about looking at what can be seen. He would always say, you know, you have to look at the scientific odds, right? If he was going to make a bet on the likelihood, he used to say, of something happening in the future. And I find that fascinating for someone who is as spiritual as he is, because this sometimes you just need to take that leap of faith, right? And interestingly, a leap of faith is a very masculine, action-doing kind of moving forward and taking that risk. That's masculine energy. And I don't believe enough women tap into that. As intellectual and as brilliant as we are, very often it's that risk of stepping outside of our comfort zone that doesn't feel good to us. And so we back up. We take a back seat. And we say, you know, I didn't know how to go further with that, so I just stopped. Or I kind of got out of my comfort zone. I got to a place where it was getting hard and difficult. And so I stopped either pursuing that client, that business, that relationship. And I am learning, sometimes really the hard and painful way, that when we're at that difficult threshold where it feels chaotic and unclear and we can't see our next step, sometimes the best way is through. And how can we, with trust, knowing that we are going to be fine no matter what? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? That we might lose face, that we might be embarrassed? And the best that could happen, we might gain a new client. We might have an amazing new friendship. We might connect with somebody on a deeper, intimate way, even for that split second that we're talking to them in the grocery store line. Who knows? And why do we stop ourselves? There's other times when we feel perfectly comfortable and we speak up and we share and we... have you ever had those conversations with somebody in a checkout line, maybe even with the person that's scanning the groceries? And it's almost an intimate little vignette. I mean, I have shared some amazing things about myself and learned about other people in that few-minute conversation while my groceries were going down the line and into the bag, right? And then at other times, when we're the, you know what, I just see what it is. It's when we feel comfortable, when we don't feel threatened. This person, we know we're in a short time frame of connecting with. And so it's not going to get too uncomfortable because we're going to be walking out the door and putting the groceries into our car in a minute. It's the person that's the most threatening, that maybe we have the most to learn from, or that we have the most to share with, that scares us and we stop. We had a, years ago, 30 years ago now, when I was taking some personal and professional growth seminars, one of the things we had to do is we had to go on our lunch break and go out and meet people. And the interesting thing around that was we were all to share with our partner who we were the most afraid of approaching. And for me, it was a really good-looking guy in a suit. You know, someone that I thought was a potential mate or someone that could potentially be a business partner or something like that. So that handsome, attractive man thing was terrifying to me, for me to go up and just start talking to. But once my partners knew this, they were great. Oh, look, there's somebody. Oh, look, in the parking lot. Check him out. You know, so it was hysterical. And then they had my back, let's say, which made it easier for me to do that. And you know what's funny is I met the nicest three men during that lunch hour. And it wasn't long conversations, but I walked up to them, introduced myself, and asked them a couple of questions and shared something about me. And I felt, and I didn't die. At one point in time, I did almost throw up. I was so nervous. But how can we, in those moments that are the most potent, where we feel the most resistance, maybe even the most fear, how can we push through there? One way is, like I said, to have a partner or a community or a team that's supporting you, cheering you on. And if there is no one in that moment, how can we go into our bodies, ground ourselves, know that we are full and enough and we don't need anything from that person? We just want to shine our light and share the moment with them. We can always ask, and they can always say no. Or we might have the most amazing conversation. But if we don't take the step, if we don't trust that we aren't going to die and move forward and attempt seize the moment, I want to say. I don't want to even say attempt. That seems too weak. Seizing the moment. Being proactive is one of the words we used to have back in my sales training days, right? So this trusting thing is an internal trust, and most often it's a trusting of self. It could be a trusting of the situation. It could be a trust of another person. But when you don't know them, the trust has to come from us. And very often, I meet with people who are new or newer to the St. Louis region, or they've just relocated here with their family, or they're starting a new business and moving into a new realm, a new arena of people that they've not worked with in the past. So they feel uncomfortable because it's not the people that they used to work with. That they feel comfortable and know that they know how to interact with. So this new area of possibilities is outside of our comfort zone, right? And to get to that, we actually have to push through that invisible wall and step outside and experience what that new place is like. And where I'm finding many of us do is we get right up to the edge and we all have our own way of pushing ourselves backwards. We get up to the edge and we feel like there's a wall or some tension or fear or we'll create even chaos. We'll create that we'll be late for an appointment. We'll create somebody needing us and distracting us away from it. We'll create something to get in the way of us moving beyond into our next version, our more expanded version of ourselves. When we do this, we get to be right. See, it wasn't meant to be. I've got a couple of potential strategic partners that I have, one that I continue to connect with every couple weeks. And you know what's funny is when I do that, for example, I met somebody this morning. She actually sat next to me at this breakfast, this networking seminar, and she's from one of the organizations. In fact, she works for the chief of staff, who handles the leadership pieces for that organization. And now I have an additional in to help me get into the space. And what's funny is this morning I didn't want to go to this breakfast. I was like, oh, do I really need to go? It was a free thing. I didn't pay for it, which of course makes me less likely to show up for something. And yet I went ahead and made the attempt and was there at 7:15 this morning. So, and how beautiful that by trusting and going to something where I wasn't going to know anyone, that I actually did make some really amazing connections. Networking does that sometimes. And you know what's funny is when I go in with no expectations versus having the high expectations. But that's a whole other topic, expectations. So getting back to the trust piece and in the unseen, there is this barrier that very often we feel when we are wanting to reach out, all excited about our company, our mission, our services. And when some people are easy for us to share with and others are just not, yet they could be lucrative, if not a supportive partner in helping us move our business forward. Those people that come to us in an inspired moment, sometimes in meditation, sometimes you're in the shower, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you go, gosh, I wonder how that person's doing. My belief is that when we act on those inspired moments, inspired connections, those inspired ideas, I mean really truly taking a step that day, if not right away. I'm trying to get better at doing it right away because otherwise I'll forget. And it might be something strange like, you know, connect with this person, call this person. Oh, my gosh, guess who else works at that organization? Maybe they can support me in getting in front of that person. We are more likely to create relationships if we have an introduction, but sometimes we don't need one. Sometimes we need to start that relationship building ourselves, and it's almost like freaking building a bridge. Yeah, but it has to start somewhere. And so by reaching out or sending a note or connecting via email, then leaving a voicemail, and then connecting again, I had the brilliant idea today of, why don't you mail? You just got 5 extra copies of the Mastering Leadership book. And that's a perfect introduction into the work I want to do with organizations. So for this high-level chief of staff person whose director person I met this morning, I think that's where I'm going to go with that. I'm going to respond with a quick email this morning and then write a handwritten note and mail that book this afternoon. I'm going to trust that this is, you know, in some way could be an inspired connection. And if not, it's a great learning opportunity, and I'm not going to let it go. How can you trust even more? How can you feel that even if you're in the St. Louis area or from the state of Missouri, which is all about show me, show me, show me, how can you move forward with introducing who you are in a way that is completely filled with trust. Because very often, we're not selling goods anymore. We're selling services. In fact, we're selling ourselves. So when we make our connections, how can we be so filled with trust that we have something of value to share with this person? That is what leads our conversation, not the, oh, maybe they won't like me. What if they don't like what I have? What if they don't need what? None of that. But just connecting with the whole fullness of our value and our brilliance. For many of us, this is unseen. It may not look like a beautiful CV or resume that we've built up throughout the years. It may not look, we may look very often at, oh, I only have this many LinkedIn connections or only this many Twitter followers, or, and that's not who we are. Those are numbers and they're metrics, and my suggestion is don't even look at those. Fill yourself up with who you are first, and maybe once a quarter or once a year, check into where your metrics are on your social media. This is one of the hardest things for women to learn, to shift our mindset that it's not about what others are doing for us. It's not about having someone else open the door. Wow, that's nice when it happens. And how often can we go knock on the door or open it ourselves? And where is it that we're perceiving that that door is closed or locked and we haven't even walked down the hall to see if it's open? And I'm speaking for myself here. I tend to think, oh, there's no way that person will want to speak with me. There's no way. You know, I reached out to Danielle Laporte, who I just think is amazing, to see if she would want to be interviewed on my leadership speaker series. And you know what's funny? I got a great response from her assistant, but that's okay, saying that she was turning down all opportunities like that. And this was in the last 6 months of last year because she was taking time to write a book and to go on sabbatical and go inward and see what her next steps were. I honor that. All about that. And I'll try again. So let's do a little challenge this week that is about not looking at what we can't do, where we cannot connect, but looking in and saying, who would I most like to connect with? Who is someone who wants to hear from me? Who is an organization that is needing my services? Tuning in and asking in a way that we expect an answer, which allows our brain and our spirit and our hearts and our bodies to give us some wisdom. That's not just about who do I know on LinkedIn that I can connect with, because those don't always feel very sincere or created with integrity. And I'm learning to trust more and more that something within me is the best coach for me, is the best idea person for me, is the best source of inspiration for me. Coming from that space, I am so excited to see how then the universe can show up to support me, like this morning. Or how then I feel much more drawn to taking certain actions versus before I was, I don't think that's going to work. And I'd find excuses, right? That procrastination thing. So let's do a little bit more trusting from a place of trusting ourselves first. Trusting in what we can't see. We don't have to have experience doing something so that we know that we can do it. I mean, at one point in time, we started riding a bicycle without ever having done it before. Very often, many of us have never parented before we become a parent. Or we've never, I mean, every time we do a first time of something, we've never done it before. And we learn by doing. And as one of my teachers, Rachel Jane, says, and all it takes is one little success to begin that momentum. Right? So I'm going to go for a couple of successes this week. Each time I connect with somebody in a really, true, authentic way, I'm going to count that as a success. Some of these clients that are finally coming into a place of fruition, they've taken me months and months. One's approaching a year to get the seeds planted and the stars in alignment, the right timing, right? The right timing for this all to come to play where I can partner with them. So I look forward to continuing this dialogue with you. If you are interested in additional ways of brainstorming how you can build your confidence, your inner trust of your value and brilliance, how you can turn that on and fill yourself with that first and lead from that space, I would love to connect with you. The timing might be right for you. And if so, I look forward to hearing from you. Until our next time together, take excellent care, shine your light, and trust in your value. Bye-bye.